God with Stacy Lunsford, the pastor of poetry. We bring you greetings from Arise and Shine for Jesus Ministry. God, today's message is entitled, I Want the Word, the Whole Word, and Nothing But the Word, Straight Up Without the Chaser. Bring you greetings from the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network, and I'm going to get right into my message today. Many sermons are candy-coated. They are not convicting sermons that will prick the heart of the people and give them enough word or give them enough Bible to encourage them to change, to encourage them to repent and turn away from their wicked ways and return to the Lord, not with a piece of their heart, not with a little bit of their heart, not with a half of their heart, but with their whole heart. King David in Psalms 51 and verse 10, he wrote a very powerful psalm. But in verse 10, he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew in me a right spirit. You see, David knew he was wrong, and David wanted to be right. And I don't know about you today, but I want to be right. When I hear the word of God, I want to be convicted. I want to be like, Lord, I'm so sorry that I sinned against you. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew in me a right spirit. David cried out to God and asked him to create in him a clean heart and to renew in him a right spirit because he knew that he had sinned against God. And he didn't want to be in a bad place with God. And he said, God, renew in me a right spirit, because he knew he was operating in a wrong spirit. And let me tell you something. I don't care who you are, what you believe, you know when you're right and you know when you're wrong. When the spirit of pride is in operation, you will think that you're right, but you will be wrong. And can't nobody tell you that you're wrong, because the pride is going to be very defensive. The pride is going to be ready to rise up in the flesh and just really make matters worse. King Saul was king, and he used to be humble. And when he realized he was going in the wrong direction, unlike King David, who humbled himself and said, create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit, King Saul got puffed up with pride. And where he once favored David, was very happy with David, he got jealous and envious of David, and he rose up against David. And he wanted to kill David. He tried to assassinate David. He even threw a javelin at David. And David moved out of the way and it didn't hit him. And that's because the word of God clearly tells us in Isaiah 54 verse 17 that weapons will form, but they will not prosper. So I want the word, the whole word, and nothing but the word, straight up without the chaser. So if you take a look in the Old Testament, particularly with the book of Ezra, you will see the opposition that he faced when trying to rebuild the temple. And if you take a look at the book of Nehemiah, you will see the opposition that he faced when he was trying to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And if you take a look still in the Old Testament, you will see that David, who was a shepherd boy, who ended up killing a giant named Goliath. Once he killed Goliath, King Saul appointed him to his army, where David faithfully served him. And when the people started praising David for all of the soldiers that he killed on the Philistine side, Saul got upset because David had killed more than he killed. So right here, I want to just touch base for a moment and present a question. What is the spirit of Saul? And why did King Saul turn against David? King Saul turned against David because he was jealous of him. He was envious of him and he coveted his gifts. Now, the spirit of Saul is a spirit that is running rampant in the church today. And it's where spiritual leaders, pastors, are not teaching, they are not preaching, they are not training the members in their church, specifically the members that are like David, that are anointed and appointed by God to carry God's glory, to preach and to teach God's word, and those that have been strategically appointed by God to pray. I'm talking about the intercessors. you fall in that category, then like Ezra, like Nehemiah, like David, you too are facing some kind of opposition. So the spirit of Saul is running rampant in the church today, and it has no desire to work with the people like David, the members, the church members that are like David. Remember, David was a little shepherd boy, but he was a king. He was anointed to be king at a very young age. It took some time before he actually was appointed to be king. The point I want to bring out is that many people are in the church today that really want to learn the word of God, that really want to know who they are in Christ Jesus, and they are operating in the gifts. And let me say that the gifts are without repentance. Whether you serve God or not, the gifts that you have, they are there. And what you do with it is between you and God, or you and Satan, because you could use those gifts to glorify God, or you could use those gifts to glorify Satan. So, Stacy, what are you talking about? I hear somebody asking me, what are you talking about? And what does that have to do with I want the word, the whole word, and nothing but the word, straight up without a chaser? Well, I'm going to tell you what it has to do with the word. We're going to talk about pride, and we're going to talk about humility. You see, David humbled himself before the Lord. King Saul walked and operated in the spirit of pride. So going back to the question that I asked, what is the spirit of Saul? The spirit of Saul is a spiritual leader. And please don't misunderstand me. They're not all false prophets. They're not all false shepherds. They are true men and women of God that at one point or another serve God with their whole heart. Jealousy, envy, and covetousness crept in, and it caused them to operate in the spirit of haughtiness, where they turned away from being a God-centered leader. And a God-centered leader is a person that is totally lined up with God, that's standing on the biblical authority of God's word, that is fully submitted to the biblical authority of God's word. When God gives a command, they walk in obedience to what God said. Now, at one point or another, King Saul did these things. He was very humble. He did what God wanted him to do. But when the jealousy came, when the envy came, when the covetousness came, an evil spirit took over King Saul, and King Saul put out a hit on David. I hear somebody saying again, Stacy, what are you talking about? And what does that have to do with the churches today? Let me tell you something. The spirit of Saul is running rampant in our churches today. And many pastors, many spiritual leaders have put hits out on the members of their church. And they don't want them to succeed. They don't want them to grow. They don't want them to preach. They don't want them to teach. And they don't want them to pray. Because when they preach and when they teach and when they pray, they open up the windows of heaven through the spiritual giftings of the Holy Ghost. It is not the individuals. It is the anointing. It is the power of God that is operating through God's chosen vessels. David was a chosen vessel of God. David was fully submitted to the biblical authority of God's word. Even when David fell short of God's glory, when he slept with Bathsheba, when the prophet Nathan came and told David what he did, which brings me back to what I said the title of this message is, I want the word, the whole word, and nothing but the word, straight up without a chaser. Don't give me no chaser. Don't water it down. Don't candy coat it. When you come to me, come correctly. Bring the word of God. Bring the true, unadulterated word of God. Convict my heart. Pierce my heart with the truth that I will repent, because I want to be right with God. I don't want to be wrong with God. Creating me a clean heart, oh God, and renewing me a right spirit. All King Saul had to do was humble himself before God. But no. That was too much like right. You know, the spirit of haughtiness was in complete control of the spirit of Saul. And at this point, he stopped being a God-centered leadership and he started being self-centered leadership. He was a self-centered leader. Everything was about him. Nothing was about God anymore. King Saul, he tried to kill David. He tried to assassinate David. He threw a javelin at him and David moved out of the way. He ran David away. David hid in the cave. David in the cage with Saul cut off a corner of his mantle. And guess what? David could have killed Saul if he wanted to, but because David honored the Lord and recognized that King Saul was the king, he was the king, he was the king. But guess what? You can be a chosen vessel of God. I don't care what your title is. If you are operating in the spirit of haughtiness, if you are operating in the spirit of pride, if you are condescending and you think that you are better than other people and that you can do what you want to do, let me tell you something. You can. You can, but it's not going to please God. The only person you're going to please is yourself, and you're going to please the devil, because at this point, King Saul was doing everything that the enemy wanted him to do, and he did nothing that God wanted him to do. And as a result, King Saul lost his kingdom. So now David, who was anointed to be king at a very young age, is now appointed as king of Israel. Many people are in the church today with an assignment to tear down the church instead of restoring the church, because they simply are not about our Father's business. Now, King David was about God's business. King Saul was about his own business. And I want to take a look at the folks in the church today, because we have two categories of people. We have carnal Christians, we have false preachers, false teachers, and we have false prophets and false apostles. So even false evangelists, we don't hear too much about that. But you will also find true Christians, good, honest preachers, and true prophets, and true apostles, and true evangelists, and true pastors who really love the Lord, and they are rightly dividing God's holy word. So I want to go to Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, and I'm going to start at verses 9. I'm going to read verse 9, 10, and 11. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as golds and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. Now, the Random House College Dictionary defines a gold as a stick with a pointed or electrically charged end for driving cattle, oxen, etc. It's to prod the animal so that they will go in the direction they want to go. So prod is to poke or to jab. With something that is pointed. It's anything that pricks, that wounds, or urges, like such a stick or a stimulus. Now, a stimulus is something that incites or quickens you to action, feelings, or thought. It's to incite, to urge, or prompt something or somebody to take action. So when the shepherd would have the rod, the shepherd's rod, and he would use it as a goal to jab sheep and or the cattle or the oxen to get them to go in the direction that he wanted them to go. And symbolically, when we use the word of God, God uses the word as a gold. And when the word of God is candy coated, when the word of God is watered down, guess what? It is ineffective with jabbing, pricking, probing, and wounding you deep in your spirit. It is impossible to cause you to respond with a spirit of humility where you're really ready to humble yourself and repent and turn from your wicked ways and turn to God. And the contrast here again with King David, when King David recognized he did wrong because the prophet Nathan came to him and he spoke the truth. He didn't candy coat it. But he didn't embarrass him and talk to him in front of a bunch of people either. So for all of these spiritual leaders that are out here embarrassing people and discussing their business openly from the pulpit, embarrassing people, talking about their business from the pulpit, that is not of God. When the word of God is candy coated and watered down, the word of God is not going to come forth. The word of God is not going to be effective with piercing the hearts of the people. I don't know about you, but I want the word, the whole word, and nothing but the word. Don't give me no chaser. I don't want no chaser. I don't want no Pepsi. I don't want no Coke. I don't want no water. I don't want no milk. Just give me the word straight up. Change doesn't come when the word is watered down. When you go to church and you hear a candy-coated sermon, guess what? You leave the same way that you came in, empty. So what did you really accomplish? What did you go there for? For an emotional high? What was all of the shouting about? Were you praising the Lord because you love him? Or were you crying out to him to save you, to deliver you because you slept in somebody else's bed last night like King David did? And that's okay. I'm not condemning you or ridiculing you. All we have to do is repent when we fall short of the glory of God. And I'm not saying that's a license to go sin. No. You know, whatever you did, whatever caused you to cry. Maybe you had one too many drinks and you used your wife as a punching bag last night. Because we got a lot of spiritual leaders that are abusing their wives, that are abusing their children. And they get up and they get in that pulpit and guess what? They not even preaching and teaching the word of God. They candy coating the word of God. Whatever you did before you came to church and whatever you do after you leave church, that's your business. It's between you and God. But let me tell you something. God's house is a spiritual hospital. It's a place where those that are sick can come and get healed. And let me tell you something. You cannot get healed with a watered or candy coated, a watered down or a candy coated sermon. And the problem today is, don't nobody want to hear the truth. Everybody is satisfied with getting their ears tickled. And let me bring correction. Everybody is not satisfied with getting their ears tickled because many people want to hear the truth. Many people want to be convicted. Many people want to get right with God. But where are they going to hear the truth at? Where are they going to go when the average church is watering down and candy coating the word of God? Guess what? I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you in. I don't even have no silver and gold. I don't have that either. But that which I have, I freely give to you. And that is God's holy word. Now, I want you to go with me to Matthew's the 13th chapter. And I'm going to start reading at the second verse. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even when what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing but not understanding. You will be ever seeing but not perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. My. I want the word, the whole word, nothing but the word, straight up without the chaser. This is the heartbeat of God. And my name is Stacy Lunsford. You are listening to the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network, where we do not candy coat the word of God. We do not water down the word of God. And I want to ask you, what do you do when you prepare to hear the word of God? Like when you go to the worship service, what do you do? When I go, when I want to prepare my heart for worship, my prayer is, Lord, let me decrease so that you may increase in every area of my life. I ask the Lord to clear the airways around me, where I will be sitting. I ask the Lord to help me to stay focused on Him. I ask God not to help me, not to let me focus on the people around me. And not even on the preacher, but to just let my whole focus be on Him and on the word that He has for me. Because when we focus on the people, when we focus on the preacher, especially if it's a watered down message, it will be so easy to get distracted. But when we focus on God, when we invite Him in and we say, God, convict my heart with this word today. Poke me, jab me, prick me. Let this word be a goad. Let this word hurt me. Let this word wound me. Let the results lead me to repentance in your word. In 2 Chronicles 7:14. So if I did anything wrong like King David did, I will be quick to humble myself and repent. I will be quick to turn from my wicked ways and quick to turn to you, God, with my whole heart and lean not into my own understanding. 2 Chronicles, the 7 chapter and the 14th verse, it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Do you want to be healed today? Do you want to feel the conviction of the word of God so that you will change? Or do you want your ears to be tickled? Do you want a watered down word? Do you want the word to be candy coated so you could go, yes. Let me tell you something. God is going to have the last laugh. A candy coated word is not going to do anything but lead you astray. Isaiah 43 verse 18 and 19, it says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Somebody's wasteland. Somebody got to hear me this evening. There is a new awakening taking place. Somebody has an urge in your heart to move from where you are. You desire to walk in the victory that Jesus provided for you by His death on the cross. If you will only allow God's word to be activated in your life, it can renew you, it can re-educate you, and it can redirect your mind. With a new attitude and outlook on life, you are able to rise above your circumstances. And you will know that no weapons formed against you shall prosper. You will know that you can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens you. Now, I want to go back to Matthew's, the 13th chapter for a moment, the 2nd and the 15th verses. I'm going to read the life application summary. The summary from the Life Application Bible. Whenever I don't use my own teachings or my own words, I always give credit because plagiarism is stealing. And I'm not stealing anybody's stuff. So this part that I'm going to get ready to read is from Life Application Summary from Matthew 13, verse 2 through 15. So with that parable, the disciples was asking, why asking Jesus, why did he speak to the people in parables? Well, Jesus uses many illustrations or parables when speaking to the crowds. A parable compares something familiar to something unfamiliar. It helps us understand spiritual truths by using everyday objects and relationships. Parables compel the listener to discover truth while at the same time concealing the truth from those too lazy or too stubborn to see it. To those who are honestly searching, the truth becomes clear. We must be careful not to read too much into parables, forcing them to say what they don't mean. All parables have one meaning unless otherwise specified by Jesus. This parable should encourage spiritual sowers, those who teach, preach, and lead others. The man sowed good seed, but not all the seed sprouted, and even the plants that grew had varying yields. Don't be discouraged if you do not always see results as you faithfully teach the word. Belief cannot be forced to follow a mathematical formula. Ratios of seeds planted to seeds sprouted. It doesn't work that way. Once you do, this is me, not the life application, but you are just a messenger. If you are a man or woman of God and you are sharing the word of God, you are preaching and teaching, the truth. You are saying what God is telling you to say. Listen, you are a messenger. And once you drop those seeds, it's between that person and God. It's not between you. You can't make them receive the word. Your job is simply to preach and to teach the word. Now, going back to the life application, it is a miracle of God's Holy Spirit as he uses your words to lead others to him. Human ears hear many sounds, but there is a deeper kind of listening that results in spiritual understanding. If you honestly seek God's will, you have spiritual hearing, and these parables will give you a new perspective. So as I come to a close of this message today, I want to go back to Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, 18 through 19 verses. Everything that you did in your life up until this point, Father, just say this prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I repent. I humble myself before you. I turn from my wicked ways. I turn away from the things that I was doing. And I know repentance is not just to stop what I was doing, but it's to be renewed in my mind. Because if I don't renew my mind, God, I'm going to go back and I'm going to do the same things that I was doing. And then, God, the truth of the matter is some people are dealing with besetting sins. And some of these besetting sins can only come out through prayer and fasting. So God, I'm asking you right now to touch the hearts and minds of your people that are going to repent as a result of this message today. I'm asking you to use this message as a goal, prod them, jab them, wound them, convict them. I call forth a spirit of repentance right now in the name of Jesus. And as you forgive them, God, as you restore them, as you bless them, help them to remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Father, I'm asking you to help them to see the new thing that is springing forth, to let go of the past, to walk away from the past, and to step into new life and new beginnings, God, where that new thing is springing forth. Help them to see that you are making a way in the desert, streams in the wastelands. So, Father, as I continue to pray, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you will bless this word, that you will bless this seed. And I ask that you allow it to fall on good soil where it can produce a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray with an attitude of gratitude, with thanksgiving in my heart, giving you the honor, the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, amen. This is Stacy Lunsford, and you are listening to the Heartbeat of God. God bless you, and have a wonderful evening.